In a word of prayer. Lord, we love you today, and God, we're grateful that some 2,000 years ago you came to this earth fully God, but yet fully man. And you came to provide salvation to each and every one that has ever lived. And God, our desire is today that if there's one here that has never put their faith and their trust in you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that today would be that day. God, I pray that you'd be with Brother Chris as he preaches to us this morning. God, I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way today, and I pray that you would speak through him the message that you've put upon his heart just for us today. And God, I pray that as we sing these songs about you, I pray that we'd forget about all the things that we're going to do this afternoon, what we're going to eat. I pray that you'd help us to focus in upon you and worship you and praise you, because you are indeed worthy of all of our praise and all of our worship. God, I pray that you'd move mightily amongst us today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Who has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sins? He is our hope, our righteousness. holds the keys that set us free. He paid it all to bring us peace. Jesus, only Jesus. Holy King Almighty, Lord, saints and angels all adore. I join with them and bow before Jesus, only Jesus. Who can command the highest praise? Who has the name above all names? You stand alone, I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. Holy King Almighty, Lord, saints and angels all adore. I join with them in bow.
Seated, and we'll have a word of prayer together. Father, we're so grateful this morning for your son, Jesus. Lord, what a name. Emmanuel, Savior, God with us. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll help us to live in such a way and worship in such a way that, that we magnify and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we assemble here each Sunday, Lord, not for ourselves, however we appreciate what we do receive, but Father, we assemble really to worship you and to exalt you and give you the credit that you deserve and the time that you deserve. Lord, it's just a couple of short hours a week that we are able to get together like this, Lord, but when we do, we want to hear from you. Lord, the people don't come to hear from me. They don't go to their Sunday school classes to hear from a person. They go to hear from you. So we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would have his way in our services and teach, challenge, comfort, convict, and help us, Lord God, to walk away from here in such a way that we know more about your word and that we're more stronger and better servants of you, Lord, that we can please you with our lives during the week. Thank you for our guests this morning, Father. Thank you for the new faces we see. Thank you for the return visitors. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll feel blessed. And we thank you, Lord, for a great Thanksgiving. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for year in and year out. But God, you gave us a day, the opportunity to observe it, to be with family, and to enjoy and give thanks. And Lord, we appreciate the refreshing day that you gave us. And we ask over the next few moments, bless those kids that are being taught in the back, and bless your people here in the auditorium. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalms 81. Psalm 81. Last week, I made a statement about myself. I told you that I either talk too much or I don't talk enough. When I'm with people, I tend to have too much to say, and when it comes time to talking with God, I tend to not have enough to say. In other words, I do not pray as I ought to or as often as I should. And it's likely that there's a great many of you here this morning could say the same thing, that we have room for improvement in the area of prayer. There can never be too much prayer. But my desire this morning is not so much to talk to you about the amount of our prayers, but rather the size of our prayers. It's a subject that you may or may not have given any thought to, but we should learn to pray big prayers. Ask for big things in our life rather than pray for little things. And little things are fine. They need to be addressed. But we serve a big God. We serve a God that is mighty and powerful and has no limit. He's the creator of all things. All things are at his disposal. There's nothing outside of his reach. And if you and I would just take time to just look at his creation, we can realize and recognize the scale on which God does things. God does things big. He does it in a great way. He's not a small God that we serve, and he doesn't do things in small ways. He is willing to work in small ways, but he is also very, very willing to work in big ways, and we need to learn to ask him for that. And whatever the scale of his blessings, they're all good. But we know that he has the capacity to move mountains, and it's whether we ask him or we believe or we want him to do those things that makes a huge difference. To a great extent, how great his blessings are in our life depend upon us, whether we ask or not, or whether we have the faith and the belief or not for it to be done. So with that, we're going to read our first text this morning. It's just one verse here in Psalms 81. And then the other scriptures that I give you along the way will be up on the screen. But Psalms 81 and verse 10, he says this, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now, in this verse, God reminds Israel that he's the one that saved them. And then he paints a picture for you and I, or anybody who reads this psalm, of how he likes to do things in his children's life. The image is that of him feeding his children. The image is that of him providing for his children. And so he doesn't say here, remember, I'm your Savior, and because I'm your Savior, I'll just give you a little to eat every once in a while. That's not what he's saying. He doesn't say, I'm your Savior, so I'll just make sure you get by. He says, open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it. Amen.
You see, it's in God's nature to bless. It's in God's nature to bless big and do things on a great scale. His disposition is such that he likes to do grand things. So let me just read that first half of that verse again. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. There's more to that than meets the eye. Of course, this is speaking of the salvation of Israel. Any Jewish person knew this story, okay? The story of their salvation and knew the details of it from start to finish. If you are a student of the Bible or if you read your Bible, you know that we can learn about this in the first several chapters of Exodus. But let me just break it down just a little bit. The salvation of Egypt involved a lot of big things, great things, things done on a grand scale. And 10 of those things were plagues that he brought upon Egypt, okay? Plague number one, the waters of Egypt all turned to blood. That's big, is it not? Plague number two, millions upon millions of frogs covered the landscape. That's big. Plague number three, lice infested all man and beast. All throughout the land. The swarm of lice came and blanketed all people, okay? Number four, flies. Flies were brought across and covered the landscape. Number five, disease struck the livestock and killed horses and cattle and sheep and camels and donkeys and oxen and all this. That's big. Number six, boils broke out on all man and beast. Number seven, great nationwide hailstorm beat the land to the ground, killing all men and beasts that did not have cover. Number eight, an east wind brought swarms of locusts, swarms so dense that it blocked out the sun, and those swarms went in and devoured every green piece of vegetation, a blade of grass or trees or whatever, it devoured it all. That's big. Number nine plague is it says that he brought 3 days of complete darkness. The Bible says that it was so dark that it could be felt. Neither lantern nor candle or light or anything could put off anything to illuminate things. It was complete darkness. That's big. Number 10 is real big. And this is the one that broke the bondage of Egypt. And number 10 is that he finally, with that last plague, he brought the death of the firstborn. And so the firstborn of man or beast died during the night. Okay, all of these plagues were brought on to break the grip that Egypt had upon Israel. To relieve them, if you will, of their bondage. Okay, it's their salvation. Now there are many things, other things involved with this: the parting of the Red Sea, water coming from the rock, a manna being brought down from heaven to feed them. A lot of big things also that we won't take time to cover. But it's a story of salvation, and everything about it is grand. Okay, now. Let me ask you this. Is your salvation done on a grand scale? Of course it is. Is any one thing that God did during the salvation of Israel, was any one thing just barely done or barely accomplished or just did it by the skin of his teeth? No. It was a complete success from start to finish. And so when God says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of Egypt, he's simply giving his credentials to them and saying, I'm the one that saved you. I'm the one that can do, if I can do those things in saving your soul, then I can do things. There's no limit to the power and scope of blessings I can bring into your life. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 1, he doesn't have this to put on the screen, but it simply says, God is mighty to save. So if God is mighty to save this morning, he's also mighty to bless. So again, let's make this personal. Let's zero in on our lives. Is your salvation a little bitty salvation? No, it's not. Is your salvation just barely adequate to get you to heaven? No, it's not. It's a great salvation. Did God just barely pull it off on that day on Mount Calvary? No. 100 times no. He did it successfully and he did it grand. He secured our salvation on such a grand scale that there's really no word to describe it. Big is not a big enough word. Huge salvation is not a big enough word. It's beyond what we can fathom what he accomplished. He says, God, in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What God accomplished on that wooden cross so many years ago was enough to secure the salvation for every person upon the face of the earth. All they need to do is put their faith in him. Amen. Folks, that's big. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon Calvary was sufficient to cleanse all sins, past, present, and future. No matter how large the sin, no matter how frequent the sin, no matter the volume of sin, countless millions or billions perhaps of sinners can be blessed and forgiven of their sins just simply by the blood of Christ. One man. The blood of Christ never falls short. It never runs out. And so I'm telling you, we have a great salvation. So great a salvation that it makes the plagues of Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea and the salvation of Israel just kind of look like an opening act. Just kind of a warm-up for God, if you will. So I say all that to say this. If God can provide you and I with so great a salvation, then he can pull off the second part of this verse where he says, open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. Let me give you this verse out of Romans 8 and 32. Just nails it for us. He says, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Isn't that saying just exactly what I've been trying to tell you? If he can give us the kind of salvation that he has given us, then isn't he able to do many more great things, big things in our life? He wants to fill us, but we have to open our mouth wide. Two major mistakes that we make. One is we don't seek him at all, perhaps. But if we do seek him, we often don't pray big. We just simply pray. And all prayer is good, don't misunderstand me. But if we come to God seeking a little bit, that might be all we get. Here's a little prayer. Dear God, bless my family. Well, folks, that's fine. But you know what a big prayer is? Dear God, bless each one and call them by name and bless this part of their life and work in this part of their life. And here's the weakness I see in this area of our family. Would you please strengthen us in that area? And God, would you take care of the needs of this and that, these specific things? God, I know you can do it. You're willing to pick up any of the pieces and put them back together. Folks, that is praying big. Little prayer is, oh God, bless my marriage. Big prayer is, God, enrich the relationship between me and my spouse. Show me where I can be a better husband or wife. Show me where I can be more caring, more supportive, more attentive to the needs of my spouse. See, that's a big prayer. Little prayer says, oh God, bless my church. Big prayer says, God, have your Holy Spirit come down and move amongst your people. Fill the pews up with people so there'll be more people hearing your word. Revive us, Lord. Save souls. Bring energy and power to the house of God. Let people be awakened by your Spirit. See, that's a big prayer. Little prayer says, God, please provide for us and take care of us. Big prayer says, God, teach me what to do financially. God, show me where to put your resources. It's all yours. Let me put it into your hands. Direct my path. Help me to make good decisions with the resources you put in my care. God, we've obeyed you, and we've given of our tithes, and we've given of our offerings. So reveal to us your mighty hand and bless us for our obedience and our willingness to follow you in this area. You see, folks, the examples go on and on of what big prayers are. Sometimes we say, God, work in somebody's life. But God wants to hear, work in somebody's life and do what you've done with my life. Revolutionize, save them, turn it all around for them. God, help them with this weakness and that weakness. And God, convict them of their sins. And God, give them the power to experience the same victory that you've allowed me to experience. You see, that's a big prayer. Somebody's sick. Oh, God, bless so-and-so there in the hospital. No, God, get them out of the hospital. God, do a miracle. Work a healing in their life. Give them a second chance. Have mercy upon them. They're good folks. They love you. Lord, they're your children. We know you care about them. So God, just bring them home to us. You see, these are big prayers. Friends, we don't seek big things. And because we don't seek big things, we don't get big things. The Bible says in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. See, we don't have big things because we don't ask for big things. And I'm not trying to say that God is some sort of sugar daddy and he's some sort of genie that if you rub him the right way and make your wishes, he'll grant them. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm trying to tell you is that God wants more for us than we can realize. I want you to look at this next verse, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Wonderful verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Look at the words of that. Notice this. He says he is able. God is able to do what? To do above, it says. To do above what? What we ask or think. You see, his capacity to do far exceeds our capacity to think about what he can do. So how far above can it go? The verse says exceedingly abundantly above. What does that mean? The word abundantly means a whole bunch. Exceedingly means way more. So what's it saying? God is able to do way more than a whole bunch above what you and I can reconcile in our mind and dream of. That's the God we serve. He says he can do more than we ask or think. We can't even think as big as he can do. And we don't ask. So often we don't ask for big things. Of course, folks, I don't want to leave with the impression that every big thing that we ever ask for will be given to us. We know that's not true. This is not a health, wealth, and prosperity message or anything like that, because that's all contrary to the Scripture. Sometimes we ask selfishly, okay? Those prayers will not be answered according to our will. They'll be answered according to His will. Sometimes we ask for things that just simply not His will. We may have somebody that we want to be healed and to be able to stay with us longer, but it's God's will for them to go on and be with the Lord in heaven. It just, that's His will, and His will's better than ours, and we have to accept that. But the main point of this whole message is that God has more for us than we realize. Here's another one of my favorite memory verses, Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call unto me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. He's going to show us things that we don't know, things that are beyond what we've seen before, things that are beyond what we've ever experienced, things that are beyond what we realize he's capable of doing. He wants to show it to us, but he says, call unto me. Same thing as he says in our text, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Folks, I don't want to say this with any irreverence or any kind of disrespect at all. You know me better than that. But here's what I want to say. God wants to show off. He wants to glorify himself. He wants to shine the spotlight upon his majestic ways. That is who the God we serve. And we give him the opportunity to do that when we seek him for big things. It's a perfect opportunity for him to glorify himself in the eyes of ourselves and in the eyes of anybody that knows what's going on in our life. When we ask for big things, he's able to come and do those big things. And man, in that he is exalted. Here's the second big mistake we make, and then we'll be done. We have unbelief and small faith. Often it can be said of us, just like it was said of the people of Nazareth in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it said this about them: he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see, big things didn't happen in Nazareth because people simply did not believe that the Lord was capable. What a sad thing. For us to limit God, we limit God's activity in our lives because we have limited his ability in our mind. In our mind, we've held him back. And because we don't have the kind of belief and the kind of faith in our mind, we don't ask for those big things, and then he doesn't display those big things. We don't get big God activity because we have little God belief. Simply put, over and over again when you read the scripture, the Gospels, we find Jesus saying these words, "O ye of little faith." This has not been done. That has not been done. This grand thing has not been accomplished because you just don't have the faith. O ye of little faith. On the other hand, we also read about many miracles found throughout the Gospels, many miracles being done, followed by these words: "Thy faith hath made thee whole. And according to thy faith be it unto you," Jesus says. You see, it's all about faith. It's all about belief. The key is in our minds and in our heart, knowing that, hey, we serve a big God that does big things, no limit to the kind of things he can do, and so we are going to expect him to do those things. Again, it's not a wishing well where we just pitch in a coin and ask. It's about believing who saved us. So we can strengthen our faith. We can do something about a weak faith. We can do something about unbelief. As we walk with the Lord every day, begin to closely observe God working in and around our lives and paying attention to those things and seeing what he's done. And then furthermore, being students of the Word of God and allowing him to reveal to us his powerful works that he's done in the past, as well as the things that he promises to do in the future. And beyond that, we can pray fervently, say, "God, develop my faith, strengthen my faith, forgive me for my unbelief, forgive me where I think of you too small, and help me to think of you as big as you really are." I want big things in my life. I know you do as well. I don't ever want it to be said of me, he did not many mighty works in Chris's life because of unbelief. I don't want that said. I don't want it said he did not many works in Bible Baptist Church because of their unbelief. And I don't think you're interested in having your name inserted into that verse either. So let's strive to overcome our unbelief, strive to strengthen our faith, and begin to seek him for big things. Start out right now, and David, I'll ask you guys to come. What part of your life, only you can identify this and I'll take care of mine, what part of your life is very small right now, but you know it can be bigger? You know it's an area that is not shored up and strong. It's an area that's not, you're not experiencing victory, and it's just an ongoing, just a maintaining of that area of your life, but nothing grand. Why don't you start today? And again, we got to pray according to God's will. Don't say, well, God, well, I don't have $1 million in the bank, and that's kind of small, so I expect you to put $1 million in there by next week. That's not going to happen, okay? Or if it does, tell me, and you'll tithe on it at least, okay? I'm just simply saying an area of your life. It may be your marriage. It may be finances. It may be child raising. It may be your spiritual walk with the Lord, your devotional time, whatever. What area of your life do you know is small right now? And why don't you begin right now with that specific area, bowing before God this morning and saying, all right, God, I'm giving this to you. I know there's more for me to be had. I know there's more for me to experience in this area. And I'm looking to you. I believe you can. I believe you will. I believe you want to. So God, I'm going to sit back and watch you work. I'm going to ask you to stand. Friends, you fill in the blank. We did a good job last week of coming before God and giving thanks for what He's accomplishing in our life and what He's doing in our church. And many, many people bowed their hearts and minds towards God. Why don't you do that again this week, but only this time seek something big for yourself. Not selfish, but something big. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God spoke into your heart, you come.